On this episode of the Catholic Echo podcast from the Diocese of Youngstown, we're talking about St. Patrick with Bishop David Bonner, Father John Keener, and Joan Lawson. Find more about this episode's topic, including articles from the Catholic Echo at catholicecho.org/podcast. And now, the host of the Catholic Echo, Father Jim Korda.
Hello and welcome to the Catholic Echo podcast. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Our show is brought to you by the annual Diocesan Appeal, the Catholic Communication Campaign, and Cumulus Media Youngstown. Bishop Bonner, welcome to our show today.
Thank you, Father Korda. It's great to be with you.
You know, today we celebrate on March 17th, St. Patrick's Day, so happy St. Patrick's Day to you.
Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and to all of our listeners.
I would like you to share with us some of your experiences of St. Patrick. Before our taping, you had mentioned that your mom was a real fan of St. Patrick. So give us some of those childhood recollections.
Well, St. Patrick's Day in the Bonner house was always a holy day, a celebratory time. My mom would decorate the house with all kinds of things that are green. We embrace the spirit of that day. My father's mother's maiden name was Kelly. My mom's mother's maiden name was McClellan. So, you know, we have Irish roots. And I was blessed about 6 months ago or so to visit Ireland on a pilgrimage. So it helped me to contextualize this whole story of St. Patrick.
Now, of course, as you were talking, one thing that came to my mind is being Italian, we did not always celebrate St. Patrick's Day. And yet my mother always celebrated every holiday. And I do remember her putting up some green three-leaf clovers on the window just to remember that we were celebrating St. Patrick's Day. But I think it's so wonderful for us to commemorate and to remember. Isn't that who we are as Catholics, that we are all about remembering? Because the saints whose lives we always celebrate help us remember not always the heroic things that they did, but just the everyday, ordinary things. And isn't that our call, just to be ordinary in an extraordinary way?
Absolutely. You know, I'm reminded of the story that took place in a classroom. The teacher asked the students, who are the saints? And this little boy raised his hand and he said, the saints are the people that the light of God shines through. Mm-hmm. And the teacher kind of did a double take and she says, well, what do you mean? And he says, well, that's the way it happens in my church. When the sunlight shines, the images of the saints come alive. You know, what a beautiful way to describe the saints, that they're lights. And I think as we live our lives, we look for people who can inspire us, who can be role models for us. And certainly St. Patrick is one of those persons.
And one of the things that we have as Catholics is that we celebrate patron saints, our namesake, or our baptismal name, or our confirmation name. And we pick those, or our parents have picked those, for a reason. You know, sometimes we're named after our father, or maybe we're named after a particular favorite aunt or uncle. But it's important for us to understand as Catholics that we are called to be saints. And I can't help but think that in the early church, those who were followers of Jesus were called the saints. It wasn't until later on that the saints were those already in heaven. So why is it important for us to understand our call to be saints?
Well, because I think that's the expectation. We're called to be holy. It's that universal call to holiness, to follow in the footsteps of those before us, most especially Jesus and those who have followed Jesus. So when you speak about the saints' names, we really identify with them. And of course, our churches do as well. But I'm happy to say that my confirmation name that I chose was Patrick. David Joseph Patrick Bonner.
Well, since you're telling the people your confirmation name, mine is actually James. My real first name is John, after my dad, John James, but I kept James also for my confirmation name. So I have an affinity to the Apostle James. But let's go back to that whole sense of St. Patrick. You know, for us in the Diocese of Youngstown, it falling on a Sunday, we're going to obviously celebrate a Lenten day, but we are also going to commemorate St. Patrick. How will you personally commemorate and celebrate St. Patrick for yourself?
Well, my hope, and again, this is my hope and my prayer, is that I'm going to be in St. Patrick's Church in Hubbard for the first time celebrating a Mass, reopening the church in the aftermath of a fire that has kept that church closed for 3 years. So I'm hoping to be there. I'm also hoping to be at St. Patrick's in Latonia to install one of our pastors there, Father Joe Ruggieri.
Let's talk a little bit about St. Patrick Church in Hubbard. That fire started soon after you arrived. You were here a very short time in the diocese, and one of the first tragedies that you had to experience was really almost the demolition by fire of one of your churches. What did that do for you?
I'll tell you, it was eye-opening, and it was heartbreaking. That was indeed my first experience. I remember Monsignor Sifrin calling me and telling me that the church was on fire. He said, but the fire trucks are there. They're putting it out. I said, well, no. I said, we need to go. But I had only been in Youngstown a few weeks. I had heard of Hubbard. I didn't know where Hubbard was. I said, well, you're going to have to drive me. Well, here it's only a few miles from where I live. But it was just humbling seeing the faithful and the pastor, Father Swires, there in the parking lot, watching that all unfold. And of course, the amazing story of how the firefighters were able to go in to the flames and secure the Holy Eucharist from the tabernacle.
That brings up another image. And on one of our recent shows, we talked about St. Columba Cathedral. St. Columba Cathedral in, I believe it was 1954, was struck by lightning and destroyed by fire. And so a new cathedral, our present cathedral, was built subsequently. Why do we as Catholics need to rise above the tragedies that exist? We know that the saints experience many trials and tribulations in their lives, and yet what made them saints is they rose above that. How do we do that in a complex world like ours?
Well, I think the key is recognizing that our identity is not about bricks and mortar, but it's about a community. Jesus said, wherever two or three gather in my name, there am I in their midst. He never really talked about a building. He talked about, I go to prepare a place for you. But, I mean, he really underlined the importance of community. And to see the faithful of St. Patrick's in Hubbard, who for the last 3 years have been celebrating Mass in their hall, they've made their hall a church. That is their place of encounter. They didn't skip a beat. They continued to be faithful, to attend Mass, to support the church. Just a true expression of resiliency and deep faith.
Isn't that what we are all about, to kind of pick up that cross daily and to move on to walk in the Lord's steps? So we wish the folks that are with us certainly a happy St. Patrick's Day today. We thank you for your presence on our show today. We look forward to our other guests. We're going to talk with a few people, one in particular about many parishes in our diocese that are named after St. Patrick and why it's important for us to celebrate and to lift that up. So one final thought for the folks that are with us on St. Patrick's Day.
I just want everyone to enjoy this day, the spirit of this day, which is one of joy of St. Patrick. And through his intercession, I pray that you might all be blessed.
Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The new Catholic Echo podcast will inform and entertain the faithful of the diocese by discussing various topics that are relevant in the church today. Bishop David J. Bonner begins the podcast with your host, Father Jim Korda, on the topic of the day, and then you'll hear from others with expertise on that topic. You can listen to the Catholic Echo podcast on Sundays at 6:30 a.m., on WHOT-FM 101, WYFM-FM 102.9, WQXK-FM 105.1, or catch it online by going to catholicecho.org/podcast. The Catholic Echo podcast is produced by the Communications Department of the Diocese of Youngstown.
Wondering what happened to timely Catholic news in the Diocese of Youngstown? It's at catholicecho.org. There you'll find recent stories about Catholic life in all six counties of the Diocese of Youngstown, plus recent videos, podcasts, and even national and global news. You'll find it all at catholicecho.org. Sign up for the email newsletter while you're there to have Catholic news delivered to your inbox.
Welcome back to our show. With me is Father John Keener. It's nice to have you on.
Thank you, Jim. It's nice to be here.
You know, we're going to spend some time. First of all, a happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you very much.
I think the Irish would say also top of the morning to you.
And the rest of the day to myself.
Beautiful. We're going to talk about the Ancient Order of Hibernians. The folks that are with us are going to learn more about it. I'll learn more about it. And we'd like to first ask you, how did you get involved with the Ancient Hibernians?
I was rector of St. Columba Cathedral, and the president of the local division was Tom Butler at the time, and he had invited me on several different occasions to celebrate Mass for different events. You know, I am of Irish descent. My great-grandmother came from County Mayo, and my great-grandfather was Irish, but was born in England, so he was still considered a citizen. You know, they were one nation at the time under Queen Victoria. And he invited me, and he kept inviting me to join the Ancient Order of Hibernians. I was already serving as chaplain for the Ladies' Ancient Order of Hibernians, which since have become two separate organizations, which share common goals and work together on several projects. But now they're separate organizations. But in any event, Tom invited me to join and kept saying, you don't have to come to the meetings. And I said, well, if I'm going to join something, I'm going to go to at least some of the meetings. And so I became part of the Mahoning County Division and really enjoyed the meetings, learning more about Irish culture. The meetings always involve prayer, learning more about the way that we as an organization were involved in efforts for the unification of Ireland. We call for a free Ireland. Freedom for all Ireland is one of the goals of the Ancient Order of Hibernians. So I became involved on that level and then eventually became chaplain of the division and then became chaplain for the state of Ohio. And then when one of our local men, Danny O'Connell, was elected national president, he named me national chaplain. So the past chaplain for the state of Ohio, but completing my term in August as the national chaplain for the Ancient Order of Hibernians.
We're going to talk a little bit more about the organization here locally, but before we do that, let's go back to kind of its storied history and talk about how it all started. Where did it all begin, and what does the word Hibernian actually mean?
Hibernia was the ancient Roman term for Ireland, and it basically means land of winter. Now, if you've been to Ireland, you know that it can be cooler, but it actually has a rather temperate climate because it's a western coastal land. So it doesn't have harsh winters, but it might feel like winter all the time. So so that's where it gets the term. The Ancient Order of Hibernians took the term Hibernia as the ancient Roman term for Ireland. There were lots of societies in Ireland beginning probably in the 16th century when the Catholics in Ireland were being persecuted for their faith, and it became more and more difficult for priests even to celebrate Mass. And so there were societies that would protect priests, protect Catholics who wanted to celebrate Mass, basically be on the lookout for British soldiers who would harass them, perhaps jail the priests and jail those who were harboring them. So, you know, there were these societies that existed. They didn't have a really organizational structure, but they existed. And then in the 1830s, there were pockets of the Irish in the coal mines of central Pennsylvania, eastern Pennsylvania, certainly a large number of immigrants in New York City itself. And so around 1836, these groups formed simultaneously, I think, around the coal mines of Pennsylvania and specifically at St. James Church in New York City, calling themselves the Ancient Order of Hibernians. And their goal was the same. It was to protect the Irish Catholics from harassment. There was a strong Americanist element that were trying to prevent immigrants from coming into the country, specifically Catholic immigrants. And so the first goals of the Ancient Order of Hibernians were to welcome the immigrants and then to protect them as they would gather to celebrate Mass and to celebrate the sacraments. And so a number of years ago, Cardinal Dolan pointed out the role of the Ancient Order of Hibernians in protecting what is now St. Patrick's Basilica, which was the old cathedral in New York City from the American, I'm not sure which group it was exactly that was harassing them, but basically trying to storm the church and to prevent them from celebrating Mass. And so the Ancient Order of Hibernians was established for that reason, but basically to welcome the immigrant, to protect the priests and the people who are gathering to celebrate Mass and to continue promoting Irish culture and keeping it alive for those who have left their homeland. So those are all parts of our history that we try to remember and to celebrate today.
Let's move forward to present day and talk about what good things the Ancient Order is doing for priests and for Catholics right here, right now in our area.
One of the main benefits, I think, is Project St. Patrick. Good to talk about on the feast day of St. Patrick. It's a project to promote vocations within the church. And so we take up a collection typically here at the Mahoning County Division. They have a mass celebrating St. Patrick's Day every year, and the collection goes directly towards Project St. Patrick. I'm part of the Stark County Division, the St. Columbkill, named for our St. Columba division, and in February had an event, called it our Can't Wait for St. Patrick's Day party, in which, you know, we were looking specifically to raise money for Project St. Patrick. And by that project, we offer scholarships to young men and women who are in formation for religious orders, in formation for the priesthood, in formation for the diaconate, by which they're given scholarships, which just basically helps them cover living expenses. It doesn't pay for their tuition, but gives them something they can use to pay for gasoline, to help pay for books, to help pay for whatever living expenses they have that aren't necessarily covered by the formation program itself. And we've also been able to give these scholarships now to men preparing for priesthood in Ireland itself. The seminary in Ireland is a mere shadow of what it once was when they were sending priests around the world because they were ordaining thousands of men each year. I think the entire country of Ireland might have ordained 4 men last year. And so we're helping to support them as well. And so Project St. Patrick is a huge part of our endeavors, and we consider it one of the main pillars of the works of the Ancient Order of Hibernians. We also are very pro-life. And so that's one of our tenets, that we support the church's teaching on the dignity and the sanctity of human life, taking part in such things as the National March for Life. Also, we do a lot of advocacy on the part of our own Congress in asking our congressional representatives to put pressure on the United Kingdom to support the Good Friday Accords, which are already in place, and simply being faithful to the promises that have made that protect the rights of the Catholic, now majority, in Northern Ireland. That's a really important part of what we do. And finally, we have what we call the Hibernian Hunger Project. And so each local division is strongly urged to support local hunger projects in memory of the Great Hunger, which brought most of our ancestors from Ireland to the United States in the 1840s and the years ensuing, you know, after Ireland was devastated by that Great Hunger, commonly known as the Potato Famine.
Father John Keener, thank you so much for enlightening us on the AOH, specifically on the feast day of St. Patrick. And again, happy St. Patrick's Day.
Thank you, Father Korda. Happy St. Patrick's Day to you and to all of our listeners as well.
Stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
Did you know that the Catholic Echo magazine is delivered 10 times per year to 52,000 Catholic households in Northeast Ohio? That is more than 150,000 people. And the Catholic Echo website, catholicecho.org, has been averaging 30,000 views per month since it launched in February 2023. Advertise your business, special event, or service with the Catholic Echo in print or online. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. Advertising discounts are available for Catholic institutions, as well as for businesses that commit to 5 or 10 issues in a year. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org or visit the advertising tab at catholicecho.org for more information.
The Catholic Echo is the media arm of the Catholic Diocese of Youngstown, and it seeks to inform and entertain Catholics in our 6-county diocese by forging stronger connections to our parish communities and highlighting the many blessings of Catholic life in our region. If you have a story idea for the Catholic Echo magazine, podcast, or website, send an email to catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org. We'd love to hear your ideas.
The Catholic Echo magazine is delivered free of charge to anyone who is registered at a parish in the Diocese of Youngstown. But subscriptions are also available for non-parishioners. A subscription costs $40 per year, and you can buy one for yourself or gift a subscription to a loved one. Email catholicecho@youngstowndiocese.org for more information.
Wondering what happened to timely Catholic news in the Diocese of Youngstown? It's at catholicecho.org. Sign up for the email newsletter while you're there to have Catholic news delivered to your inbox.
Joining me is Joan Lawson, who is the Diocesan Chancellor and also archivist. Welcome to our show.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
You know, first of all, happy St. Patrick's Day.
And the same to you.
It's the traditional time that we gather to celebrate this great saint, this apostle of Ireland. And there's so much for us to talk about, not just about St. Patrick, but about the saints in general. And as an archivist, as a historian, what does that tell us as a church that we celebrate these famous people, these people of history? What does that tell us about our faith?
I think it's a wonderful source of inspiration and hope to us that we have the stories of real people living out their real lives in real times and places and how they lived the gospel where they were. And so there's so many lives that we can draw from to give us inspiration in different times in our life, in times of joy and sorrow.
I know that for us as Christians, at least the early Christians, interestingly enough, they referred to themselves as the saints. Even though they were alive, that's how they called themselves. And of course, as time went on, we referred to the saints as those who have gone to heaven. And so for us as Catholics, that whole concept of being a saint and the call to sainthood is really part of what we do and who we are as faithful people. As a historian again, let's talk about how we remember all of these people who, for one reason or another, the church has lifted up to sainthood. Why is it important for us to, first of all, remember and then keep all of those facts about them?
I think it always helps us in the present to be able to look to the past, because when we encounter situations in our lives, we don't have to reinvent everything. We can look back and say, people have been through this before. There have been ups and downs in the faith, in how people could or could not live out their faith. And to have the concrete examples of other people's lives can help us, even though our own times are different from the past, but the human sorrows and human trials and human hurdles can often be the same. And so we can learn from that and get inspired.
Of course, as Catholics, we revere the saints, we lift them up, but also we name our churches after the saints. And here in our diocese, we have, at least last that I counted, at least five parishes that have been designated as St. Patrick. Let's talk about some of them.
Yes, that's very true. We have had five. And the Irish in our diocese go back all the way to the 1810s. Many people think that Irish immigration to America really began with the potato blight in the 1840s. But there were Irish people here in Ohio in the 1810s, in Dungannon, in Stark County, in southern Columbiana County. They were early on working in what we would call infrastructure. They were working in canal building in the 1820s, 1830s, and then, of course, there was a greater influx in the 1840s. Not all of those early parishes, even though they were primarily formed around the Irish, although there were a significant number of Germans and French, even in the strictly Irish parishes, they weren't always named St. Patrick. So we see other saints' names, St. Paul, St. John, and so on. We begin to see St. Patrick honored in the 1860s, and the first one is St. Patrick in Hubbard. So in the 1860s, we see in Hubbard, in Celineville, there was a St. Patrick. Then in Letonia, there was a St. Barbara that is now a St. Patrick. So in the 1880s, that was renamed as St. Patrick when they built their second church. Then in Youngstown in 1911, we get our first St. Patrick. Our first Irish church in Youngstown was St. Columba, named after another great Irish saint. But we get our St. Patrick in Youngstown in 1911, and then in the 1950s, we get our St. Patrick in Kinsmen. So they go over decades, and they follow different migration patterns and ways of honoring that saint. But we see him very often named as a patron.
And the final fifth parish that we want to mention also was in Portage County, St. Pat's in Kent. And so we remember them as well. But it's nice for us as church to think of the saints as we gather as a faith community to celebrate that. The other thing I'd like us to talk about is the naming of our parishes and why it's important for us as Catholics to have that identity.
Yes, we honor and take inspiration from those patrons. We ask them for their prayers continually. So we have Columba as the patron of our diocese. We can ask him for his prayers in heaven all the time. And so whoever our patron is, and it might not be, of course, a saint, it could be an image of Christ, it gives us a strength and an aspiration to uphold a knowledge and an understanding of who we're supposed to be. It helps us with our lives.
Let's talk about how important it is for us as Catholics and as Christians to unite ourselves to the saints. Our goal, our final goal, is to be with God in heaven, to be surrounded by all of those who have gone before us. And so why is it important for us to emulate the saints while we're here on earth, still alive, on our way to our final goal?
I think that brings us back around to what you said at the beginning, that in the early church, they called themselves saints. No one's going to be named a saint in heaven if they weren't a saint on earth. It's their earthly actions that matter. And so we're in that great communion of saints, those of us on earth aspiring to heaven. So being surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses, being in communion with each other, knowing together we're working towards something, praying together, worshiping together, in action together, puts us in a place where we know we need all of our brothers and sisters, those with us here on earth and those in heaven who have gone before us. We all need each other in order to live out the gospel.
Joan Lawson, we also want to lift up St. Joan of Arc and myself, St. James the Apostle. And so we ask them to guide us on our daily journey. But also today, as we celebrate St. Patrick, we ask him to continue to guide, especially those parishes in our diocese that are named after him, to bless those folks, but also to lift that up and to celebrate all that he was in his time and place, and how we are called also to be saints. For more information, you can go to CatholicEcho.org. The Catholic Echo podcast is a production of the Roman Catholic Diocese of Youngstown in cooperation with Cumulus Media Youngstown. I'm your host, Father Jim Korda. Have a blessed day, and may God be with you.